Welcome to Shit Your Teenagers Won't Tell You, a podcast about everything you need to know about teens.
I'm Kathy.
And I'm Meredith, and we speak teenager.
Did we also mention that we're best friends?
We've worked as admission officers, prep school administrators, and most importantly, have coached thousands of teens. In other words, we have seen it all.
So join us every week as we give you the lowdown on all the shit your teenager isn't telling you. Because trust us, there's a lot of it. And if you don't know what to do with the teenagers in your life, don't worry, we've got your back. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Shit Your Teenagers Won't Tell You. We're here today, sadly, not in person. We're recording virtually.
Wah, wah, wah.
I know, it's a wah-wah, big time.
Sorry.
We don't get to touch each other. We don't get to hold hands. It's very upsetting. You guys didn't know that when Meredith and I record our podcast, we actually hold hands.
It's true. There's a lot of snuggling.
For comfort. For comfort and reassurance. I am stronger when we are together.
It's true. You are my self-soothing coping strategy. How do I self-soothe?
You're my registered comfort animal. Emotional support animal.
I'm your emotional support animal?
Yes, you are. Facts. Anyways, we digress. The point is, we have a great episode for you today because it's very timely because I don't know about you, Meredith, but like every coaching session I've been having recently, we've been talking about course signups. For next year. So everybody's getting information. Course catalogs are out. They're having meetings with the counselors, talking about courses for next year. Some kids have already picked them. But it brought up an interesting topic, which is how to talk about rigor. And as it pertains in particular to the college admissions process, because kids are interested. Most of the kids we're working with are planning to apply to four-year colleges, varying in degrees of selectivity. But still, they, regardless of how rigorous of a schedule they've had or will have, we always talk about rigor. And it's a really tricky conversation. Do you find that to be true, Meredith? I find it like I'm like threading the needle. It's like really hard to know what to say about it without putting pressure on kids to take harder classes than they're prepared to take, but also be honest about the importance of rigor in the college admissions process.
Right. And I think that is the reason why it's a difficult conversation to have, because there is this inherent tension sometimes between, there is an actual definition for what is a more rigorous curriculum, but that doesn't mean that the kid in front of us in a coaching session is the type of student who can appropriately, confidently handle that level of rigor. And so yes, we're always in this tightrope walk of trying to, for me, it's like trying to define what is rigor for you? What's going to stretch you academically, but not break you? That's a hard conversation to have because sometimes, and I don't know if you have this experience, a lot of the students that I coach, they're very enthusiastic and optimistic about their ability to handle every AP class possible. And I have to sometimes walk that back a little bit, say, well, maybe going from zero AP classes your sophomore year to five your junior year is a bridge too far. So I guess, yes, there's tension. That's a hard conversation. How do you like to approach those conversations?
Ugh, it's so hard because I feel like no matter what you say and how you say it, kids just hear, I need to take the hardest classes.
I need to take the hardest classes now.
Right. Like no matter how nuanced I try to be with my language, and this is not just true for students, but I think with parents too, what they hear is I need to be your kid. And it's not false. Like, there are kids who can take the hardest curriculum their school has to offer and do well in it, right?
Maybe we should talk about why rigor, and by rigor we mean sort of progressively more difficult curriculum each year of high school, and rigor is often, though not exclusively, measured by advanced level courses, honors classes, AP classes, IB classes. Maybe we should talk about why colleges care about that, particularly highly selective colleges.
Because they're dumb.
Okay, cool. That's a good reason. The end.
I would love for colleges to care about character more, but that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Dude.
Yes, let's talk about that.
If we started a college,
We've talked about this before. If we started a high school, like our school would be amazing.
There'd be dogs everywhere. There'd be fantastic food.
Oh, yes. I was just going to say the cafeteria food would be amazing.
And we would mostly just talk about our feelings.
Yes. And our kids would be so happy and loved and supported. They'd probably be really bad at math, but that's okay. We'd hire people to do that.
Yeah, yeah. We'll find math people.
We'll find math people with a heart.
Exactly.
Yes. The warm, fuzzy math people can come teach.
If you are a warm, fuzzy math person listening to this podcast and want to help us start a high school.
Yes. Or science teacher. Harder to find the fuzzies.
That's my dad. We'll just have my dad.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
Yeah.
Meredith, we're halfway there.
We're halfway there. Okay. Rigor, why do colleges care?
Yeah, yeah. You go, go, go.
Oh, why do they care other than they're dumb? Well, I think the logic goes that college is more school, and the way that a college can assess a student's potential to do well academically and handle the intellectual challenges of a post-secondary environment is by evaluating their high school transcript. And if a student has performed well, and by that I mean they've received strong grades, and then they've received, say, strong grades in harder classes, many colleges take that as evidence that that student will be academically successful in their environment. And why does that matter? Well, for a lot of colleges, that matters because they want retention. They want high graduation rates. They want, you know, they want, I think, earnestly students to succeed. They want students to be appropriately placed in their environments so that, so I think that's why colleges care in a highly subjective admission process, which is the American college and university admission process, unlike, say, the UK system. Grades, classes are one of the few concrete measurable items in the admission application, right? So you have all of these subjective and qualitative components of an application, like letters of recommendation, essays, supplements, grades, transcripts, rigor. That's a thing you can actually measure. And so it's also a tool for colleges to sort and compare applicants and sift through them. And it's not particularly fair, right? Because high schools have really different grading systems, grading scales, levels of rigor, options available, et cetera, et cetera. But I think those are some of the reasons why colleges care about rigor.
Yeah. And if I were to channel Tim Brunold, our dear friend at US, the Dean of Admission at USC, Tim is a total data head. And one of the pieces of data that he knows that he can count on is the high school transcript when he is looking for students he knows are going to graduate and persist, right? Let's not underestimate how important that is to colleges or undersell it, because it's really important. Colleges want kids who will ultimately graduate. That is what they are looking for. They are looking to build a class, and there's all of these, like you said, subjective factors, but that transcript is a one hard piece of data that they can use to say, wow, this kid has done all these really hard classes. And when you get into the highly selective world, when you get into the world of single digit admit rates, the transcripts just are really impressive. Like, the kids are doing all the things. It's easy to forget when you're in a high school and you've got 500 kids that you're looking at.
Yeah.
Right. But when you expand that to the country and really the entire world, because international kids are applying as well, right? There are just so many kids who can take really hard classes
and hang.
And hang. Yeah. And that is hard to wrap your brain around. Right. And what I see my kids doing is like, I can do that. I can do that. And I would say of the kids that I coach, maybe 1% can do it.
Yeah. I love the optimism that our students possess. It's great and very contagious, but often it's very unrealistic. Yeah. So I think one of the challenges we face, you're saying that only 1% of your students could potentially handle the most rigorous curriculum in their high school. And if you were to look at the 1% in every single high school, both in America and abroad, that's actually turns out to be quite a lot of students. Parents often hear us or an admission office say, take the hardest curriculum you can handle. And because there's sort of this obsession with positioning yourself as to be competitive for highly selective admission, sometimes I think both students, sometimes parents, they just don't have a realistic sense of what that student can handle academically. And so it's important to recognize that rigor exists on a spectrum. So what one child can handle and what is considered rigorous for that student might be very different for another student, might be very different for another student, right? So it's really important that the student finds the sweet spot of rigor for them, because it's not just about having fancy classes on your transcript. You also have to get A's in them. So it goes to that classic question, Kathy, which I will ask you that we get asked all the time. Is it better to get a B or a C in honors classes, or is it better to get A's in regular classes? And what would you say to that?
It's better to get A's in honors classes.
That's right.
I know. And kids hate that answer. I remember we'd do class meetings and they'd be like, I know what you're going to say. And it's so annoying. And I get why they feel it's annoying, because they're like, effing hell, that feels really hard.
It is annoying.
I'm not sure I want to do it. Like, I'm not sure I can do it. And that feels really unfair. And you're right. It's not fair. It sucks. And I'm sorry, but that's reality. And I also feel like parents and kids don't really understand like what a really rigorous, for example, you have a kid who's not really good at math, right? Doesn't enjoy math, really struggles through it, doesn't want to take calculus senior year. Let's just like brass tacks it for a second and use a real life scenario. Okay. Doesn't like math, blah, blah, blah. So senior year is going to take AP stats instead of calc. Okay. They took pre-cal junior year. I, as a college candidate, but they want to go to Williams.
Or they want to major in business or engineering.
Yep. And I'm going to tell you, as a college counselor, you have to take calculus. And what other kids are doing is what the competition looks like at a place like Williams is not only BC Calc, is kids who have taken multivariable or beyond.
Yeah, they took BC Calc as sophomores or juniors.
Right. Kids are like, that happens. And I'm like, yes. That there are kids out there who are doing that. And that's what you're up against in the admissions process. That's not to say the kid who did multivariable calculus is going to be admitted just because they took multivariable calculus.
Of course.
Right. There's lots of factors that go into the admission process, but that is the type of rigor some students are pursuing, right? And so can you apply to a Williams with AP stat? Sure you can. But is that the most rigorous? No, it's not.
I'll give you an example. I have a student now who is attending a very different kind of high school. It's fascinating. But that high school's curriculum does not offer traditional AP or IB level courses. It is incredibly spectacular for other reasons. They have a sort of internal advanced curriculum, and that the student is taking full advantage of that. But because the student knows that this school is not able to provide IB AP classes, but is offering this really cool travel experience, they are taking two AP classes outside concurrently with a full high school curriculum right now and doing it. And they did that last year and got fives on the AP tests. So there are students like that who can do that.
Yep.
And if we were to ask other students to do that, it would be incredibly unhealthy. It would be incredibly counterproductive. So yeah, I mean, I think when students are, this is one of those conversations we have with kids and with families where we have to be realists. We have to be straight up and direct and say, it is true that a Williams is going to want this. And there are more kids who have that level of rigor than are going to get into that school. So, you know, as college counselors, I always want students to have all the information so they can make an informed decision. And so, yes, calc better than stats when it comes to just a decision of rigor. But if you're a varsity athlete that doesn't get home until 8 p.m., if you have household responsibilities, if you're also struggling with a mental health issue or any other number of sort of life factors, pushing yourself or pushing your child to take a rigorous class just for the sake of the possibility that that may position you in a way that's similar to these other applicants, usually that backfires. So you and I talk a lot about know your kid, know yourself. And I think this is one of those places where you've got to have honest conversations about not everyone's going to be able to handle that. I don't want to take multivariable calculus. That would kick my ass.
Yeah. And you know what? The shitty thing is that may mean you're not getting into Williams, dude. Like, you may not be competitive. And that is a hard pill to swallow for families and for kids. And that is what college counselors like are secretly thinking.
Yeah, but I wish college counselors would not keep that a secret, because I think it's more important for students and families to have that blunt information up front. It sucks. You and I can have a whole other episode about why that's not fair and how there are different ways to measure X, Y, and Z, but them's the breaks.
But my experience from college counseling at a prestigious, rigorous, fancy pants private school as college counselors, when you tell parents that, right, parents hear, well, you don't believe in my kid and you don't think that they
can. You don't believe in my kid.
You don't think that the other parts of their application are strong enough to hold up, right?
Yeah. Let's take a moment and just sit and defend our friends who are still working in schools. Hey, parents, if your college counselor, your son or daughter's college counselor says that your child is not competitive for this school, that's not personal. They're saying that because they have data. They are educated. It's much like saying, you know, accountant telling you you're not going to get the refund you thought you were going to get because of X, Y, and Z. There's actual historical data that goes into that explanation that is important to honor. And straight up, no amount of really wonderful essay writing or great letter of recommendation is going to compensate for an otherwise inadequate academic profile at a highly, highly selective school. The academic profile is what gets you the invite to the party. The other stuff is just sort of bonus, but you gotta have the academics.
You gotta have the chops.
You gotta have it. Your kid could be the nicest, most involved, sweetest kid in the world, and that's probably true. And Kathy and I aren't saying we like that. We're not saying that's fair, but that's real.
It is real and it sucks. And that's why I hate having this conversation with kids, because they usually leave the conversation feeling kind of shitty. They usually leave the conversation feeling a little confused, not really sure what they're supposed to be doing, because it feels really hard to make the right choice for yourself if it means giving up college options.
Right.
And I totally get that. And I wish we didn't live in a system that made me have this conversation with kids.
Yeah.
But this is a reality. And that's kind of how I frame it for parents. So, I mean, I wanted to do this episode because I wanted to help clarify just how broad rigor can look for not just for your student, but for students all over the country, right? Like there's the range of rigor looks really different. And that it's normal to feel shitty about this conversation. Like, it sucks. I want my kids to have all the options, but you don't get to.
It's not the world.
It's not the world that we live in, for sure. So anyways.
Well, it just occurs to me as we're maybe wrapping up this part of the conversation, we could provide more specific guidance on how to gauge rigor. So like, let's say you're a parent who's listening to this episode and you agree, okay, Meredith, okay, Kathy, I get it. There's some fancy pants kids all over the world who are doing the most all the time, who are very extra with their curriculum. But for my child, I do still believe that pushing themselves academically is important. And I want to calibrate in a way that supports their intellectual development, because not every parent we work with is only interested in their child pursuing rigor in the name of getting to college. A lot of parents actually want their kid to learn, want them to be challenged intellectually. So I think it's worth spending a couple of minutes just talking about how to support your child pursuing a rigorous curriculum. Because apart from the college process, it's a good thing for each child as they move through each year of high school to challenge themselves academically, to challenge themselves co-curricularly. Why? Because it helps them grow. It helps them learn how to do hard things. It builds resilience. It builds all the stuff that Kathy and I drone on about in every episode. So I would say progressively more rigorous is sort of the way I think about it. So if a student I'm working with took no honors or advanced classes in freshman year of high school, I say, okay, let's try a couple on for size, one, maybe two, and let's see how that goes. And then you build from there. What other advice would you offer, Kathy, for how to choose rigorous curriculum, but to calibrate appropriately to each individual student?
Yeah. So some of the, I don't know if this answers your question directly, but some of the markers of rigor that parents and kids may not know about, right? 4 years of language, like not dropping.
Terminal classes in each subject area.
Yep. That's a great way to put it. Students.
Volume of classes. So let's say your school allows a typical full load is 6 classes and you get to senior year and you decide, I want an extra free block, so I'm going to take 5. That will be perceived as less rigorous.
Yep. Another way to show rigor, especially if you are really interested in a specific subject, is to double up in a subject. And that usually doesn't happen until senior year when you have more options for electives. I would just put a little asterisk on that, in that I do find that STEM kids overdo it and they don't write at all senior year. And I think that can be problematic.
Yeah, I think I would be careful with the doubling up or the tripling up, because it's also true that colleges don't see high school as the time to specialize. That's sort of what college is for. And so if you had to pick, I sort of advise, let's take the terminal or fourth level of each subject. But let's say a kid finishes AP Spanish 4 as a junior and they have a little more wiggle room in their senior year schedule. Yeah, then you double up, right? Then you sort of take 2 sciences or 2 maths or something like that.
Yeah.
I tend to be biased towards, if I had to put it in rank order, I would rather see a student take 4 years in diverse subject areas than start to specialize in what they think they're going to want to major in junior and senior year.
Yeah. I actually really like it for humanities kids because it feels like there isn't as much rigor. Like, that was one of the biggest complaints that I got when I was college counselor. Like, I'm a humanities kid and I don't want to take robotics and I don't want to take the maker workshop, whatever it's called. It was applied science research at Menlo. Like, you know, I don't want to take that. That's not for me. I want to write. Right? I want to talk about ideas. I want to learn more about history. And so I think that's a great way for humanities kids to show rigor when their school doesn't offer a lot of rigor advanced classes.
Yeah, schools. Can you guys figure out that? We had the same thing at Branson. You know, there's all these ways to differentiate yourself in math and science and the history, English kids, language even. We're sort of like, what the heck, man?
Yeah. And schools are getting rid of honors and APs, more and more prep schools, and the really rigorous, high achieving set is starting to get rid of APs and honors. And so now kids are like, well, what do I do? Well, now they're taking the AP test, even though their school doesn't offer it, right? There's always ways to game the system. Like, your schools are like, we're going to de-emphasize the importance of AP and honors, but we're still going to designate some classes as like advanced track, like whatever, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. There's still some way to designate higher level advanced courses. And what students are doing is they're still taking AP classes, like you said, with your student outside of school. And if they're not taking AP classes, they're also, they're still trying to sit for AP tests, right? So
yeah,
it's hard out there. This conversation is actually kind of bringing me down, Mare. I'm not going to lie.
Oh dear. We should get a snack.
Because I can imagine listening to this being like, good God, can't my kid just go to high school? Yes. The answer is yes, your kid can go to high school, but they can't do that. And they can't just be like a quote unquote normal high school kid and also get into Stanford. Like, no, you can't do
it. I think, though, that it does. This conversation, it's prompting a more fundamental decision for families, which is, to what degree do I want to allow highly selective admission and its process and its guidelines and rules to govern my child's high school experience? And this is a fundamental question for the parents who are listening that you are going to bump into a lot. And this is something, I think, philosophical. As a family, again, return to your values. And what do your values tell you about the degree to which you want to let in this process? Because it is a choice. It's a choice. You don't have to play this game. Because playing this game, by the way, can have a lot of negative consequences for students' well-being. It's not been a focus of this particular conversation that Kathy and I are having, but we see a lot of students pursue rigorous courses to their detriment.
Yeah.
Even if they can handle it, it's not appropriate for them, or they're so stressed, or they're so sleep deprived, or they don't have fun, or they're not balanced. And then they get to college and they're burned out and they suck at college.
Yeah. That's the real downside.
As always, as we wrap this episode up, I think continue to think about your values as a family and how those could provide guidance.
Does it really matter? I mean, you just got to figure out. Like, I have friends with teenage children who ask me these questions all the time. They're like, God, this totally sucks. Why do we have to? I don't want to play this game and I don't want to get into this. Like, this feels so stressful. And I just don't want to do it. And I was like, you don't have to. Just so we're clear, you don't have to. Your kid, there are many colleges out there that do not require your child to take multivariable calculus by the time they're a junior. Like, that is not every school. And if you remove yourself from that game, right, that arms race, if you're just like, okay, I'm not participating in this, we're totally happy with wherever kid our kid goes, and the University of Oregon has like a 90% admit rate, and go Ducks. Your kid's going to be fine, right? There's so many big schools like that, that there's so many great options, and there's great professors and resources and facilities. Like, it's fine. It'll be fine.
It will be fine.
That's true.
It will totally be fine. And play the long game, friends. Play the long game. We want happy, healthy humans.
Indeed. All right, friends. Thanks for listening to another episode, and we'll see you next time.